Welcome to Unlock Your Soul with yours truly, Anthony, your soul, right here at Nairobi Street Kitchen. And one of the reasons why I love this episode is because the guy that I'm sitting with is actually the artist behind our Mexican street food kitchen. It's called Si Señor. So we're going to be showing you shots of how amazing it looks like. And this guy is the one who's literally behind it. So yeah, welcome to Unlock Your Soul. I'm talking today to an artist, to a visual storyteller, someone who's done this for a long time but doesn't age. So we're going to be finding out his secret to staying young, but also his secret to being relevant and being real and being himself. It's one and only Mr. I call him Boopy.
Yeah, we've known each other for a while, man.
But his friends call him, his fans call him
Wise 2.
Wise 2. Or Too Wise. I think it's Too Wise. That's why he's called Wise 2. And we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff, including Banksy and Boopsy, I think.
Well, the Banksy one, it's interesting to dive into it, but I think we will touch into it, of course. But I feel like a lot of people have spoken about it. Mm-hmm. So I think we should now look, but we will speak about it in a way that makes sense, no?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we'll decipher everything that we want to talk about, touch on today. But let's start off with you and your love affair with art. Before we talk about graffiti and everything, your love affair with art, how did this start?
I mean, it's like, I think if you date back, my love affair with art has always been there, like looking at comic books, looking at things like, if you look at Metallica when they had their t-shirts coming out, you know, heavy, like those graphics would attract me to it. Yeah. And then later on, just started working into just, you know, most of the comic books, the stories that they tell you. Mm-hmm. That was more inspiring. So I think that's where the love affair started with art.
Any artist who once you sort of got to interact with the art and it just made you be like, shit, this is why I do what I do?
It's difficult to say because I think like what I do is from the streets.
Yeah.
And recently I have come across works. Well, I have come across works when I was growing up, but now I've been in a position to be more appreciative of the work that you see with masters, with Vincent Van Gogh or Leonardo da Vinci in his sketches, things like that. But I think the most important thing growing up was not trying to be that like super influenced by that kind of work.
Yeah.
It was also more like trying to find your own style, trying to find your own voice before you can now start looking into all these other great artists.
Yeah.
So I think that's my journey. Right now I'm still looking at like classic way of painting, looking at iconography, looking at symbology, looking at ancient cultures. Because a lot of graffiti these days, well, for me, in my perspective, is a European or a Western style of writing, which is great because it's like one of the backbones.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like trying to dig deep into culture, into roots, into things that have made a huge difference.
Yeah.
You know, and I wanna be able to spread that.
So tell us about your growing up. I mean, I don't think I've even asked you this question ever, but I mean, tell us about your growing up from when you were born to the days of WAPI. I mean, who's Boopy? What's your DNA?
Man, that's a good question. I'm still trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Because it's a journey. I think we have never figured out who we truly are. You know, we have a lot of work to do. We have so much of things that we need to self-reflect on.
Yeah.
So I think growing up, one thing I've been true to is
But I mean growing up, like, where were you born? Uh-huh. Like, I mean...
Nah, I've been born and raised in Nairobi, Kenya.
Where is Nairobi? This thing of like... You know, we sometimes speak like white people. We're like, I was growing in Africa.
Nairobi, in Kenya, in East Africa.
Where is Nairobi? Like, where? Nairobi is big. There's Korogocho, there's Kawangware, there's... Because the reason why I always like people being specific is that it allows people who watch you or who try to understand your journey, they begin to relate, they begin to see that you're more human than just this guy who made it from Nairobi. So
So my parents had moved in from a very long time. My father has been here when he was a child, like maybe when he was, I don't know, I can't remember, 9, 10. My mother the same. They used to stay in Isli.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have a supermarket there. They used to roam around in Isli, walk all the way to town, Gara, Shan Cinema, everything. Mm-hmm. Like they used to do these things in the night. So they were there. Then moved. Then I was born later on, way later on. Moved in from Eastleigh to Ngara, Ngara to Westie, Westie to Parklands.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if it's a community thing. So yeah. Most of the communities you see, they always move where?
Exactly. The society. Yeah. Your vibe, yeah, your tribe.
Yeah, your yeah. vibe, your tribe, yeah. Exactly. And they will never see them trying to uproot themselves to be somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I know for a fact that they were in Eastleigh, which is great because it's a story that can be told and also they see the differences of what Eastleigh is today and what it was those many years
ago. Then, yeah.
Still have friends from that period of time. So that has also contributed to my DNA and I've always been different. I don't hang around with my own people, which is kind of funny because I have my friends who are my own people.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like I've always been curious. That's how I know you. That's how I know a lot of people. Mm, even that journey to WAPI was because of trying to become, to find that realness.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm in this country, when I'm born as a first generation Kenyan.
Yeah.
I need to learn the language. I need to learn the slang. I need to learn these things. This is my curiosity. Yeah. There's a lot of Kenyans out there who don't even know certain things. And I can...
I mean, you meet Kenyans who are so proud to say, you know, me, I don't speak Swahili. I'm like...
No,
that's a good thing.
That's wrong. You should.
Yeah, but also, why do you think you should? You shouldn't even say it.
Don't
you
say
should,
it. Learn
you
it.
Should. You should be learning at night. So during the day, I've met Nigerians. I have a friend of mine called Ego.
Yeah,
she works for Google. She's such a powerful woman, and she's not even Nigerian. She's British Nigerian. You know, but she hasn't grown up in Nigeria, but she speaks Swahili.
Exactly.
Like she's like shikamo. She's like marahaba. I'm like. She's like, yeah, because if I'm going to be with your people, I'm going to learn the language.
Yeah, even if you go to Nigeria, you're going to speak whatever dialect there is. Even me, when I end up in Cuba or in Mexico and Argentina, you try and you learn the Spanish, but you also learn the Spanish that's specific to that area.
Yeah.
You don't have to embed yourself entirely, but you have to make that effort. So people, when they see you and when you speak the language, they say that this guy, he's making the effort.
Exactly.
This is dope because it's a connection. It's a bridge.
And but people, also for you, I mean, learn that. For you, it's not even, it's part of who you are because you are Kenyan number one.
Yeah, 100%.
Let's also get into something a bit, before we get into WAPI, and WAPI is Words and Pictures, a platform by British Council.
Was.
Yeah. That doesn't happen anymore, but I mean, it's really built a lot of us. There's always, I mean, first, describe to us how somebody should describe Bopi in terms of nationality. Are you Kenyan? Are you Indian Kenyan? Are you Kenyan Indian? Because I always feel there's, I've also had the conversation with someone who's Somali. Was Somalis and Indians, you're the only people are so quick to first call them by their tribe. We feel very comfortable to say Luos or Kikuyus, it's like, I don't want to speak like that, you know?
I think it boils down to nationalism, mostly, when you're proud of where you're from, your nation, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole concept of nationalism.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you're born in this country, you are Kenyan. You can identify with those roots. Mm. I am born and raised in this place. But there's also that argument, what makes you Kenyan or what makes you African? Is it the color of your skin?
Yeah.
Or is it the amount of knowledge or your exposure that you
have?
It's
where your placenta is rooted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think... even this idea of Indian Kenyan, Kenyan Indian, it also, I think it comes from the concept of how the Americans use it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else who's not from the United States are labeled as Chinese American, Indian American.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing that we see and we emulate.
Exactly.
And we're like, hey, you know what? We want to be like these people. But in the reality, there is nobody who's an original American.
Yes.
There's always going to be indigenous people.
Yes.
Which is Native Americans.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly. I mean, everyone else is a visitor.
It's a visitor. It's
everyone
the same
else,
thing over here.
Period. Yeah.
Like, the things
we're
that
all
I've
visitors.
Done,
I mean, if we woke up today and shit happened between us and Uganda, nobody would give a damn if you have to also
remember.
Yeah.
Black and brown people have always been part of colonization. Mm-hmm. They've always been part of revolution. Mm-hmm. They've always been part of resistance.
Yeah.
We have had, forget the lawyer's name. Pinto was it?
Yes, Biogama Pinto.
He was assassinated.
Yep.
But his roots are Indian. Roots.
He wasn't fighting for Goans.
No,
he was fighting for Indians. He was fighting for Kenyans.
Kenyans.
There was never, by the way, for Biogama Pinto. I feel like until we got older, and obviously the name itself.
For Biogama, exactly.
The name itself will make us think, he might not be Kikuyu or Luo or whatever.
Yeah.
But he was always a freedom fighter for Kenya. It was never for any other person.
Yeah.
So
even the Sikhs.
Yeah.
Even the Sikhs. The
exactly.
ones who have the turban on, they have also been part of revolution for this country.
Yes.
They have fought on the side of rebellion.
Yes.
You see, so it's not only because it's the color. We do understand.
Exactly. But also, again, like you're saying, it's a means and a way for the imperialists to remind us to always segregate. To always divide and conquer. You know this. You're not really Kenyan. You're not fully. So now let's get to WAPI. We meet at this amazing platform. Yeah. WAPI basically means words and pictures, but it's also a nice double entendre for where, and it's where a lot of us, you know, sort of began. It's where a lot of us started to find themselves.
Yeah.
What was WAPI as a platform for you, and as a platform for you as a graffiti artist, sort of really having somebody and an authority, a stamp of approval that what you're doing is not rebellious or crazy or illegal? You are a great artist, even if you're a graffiti artist.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think WAPI, the platform itself, was amazing because I feel like without that platform, many of us wouldn't have been there, or many of us wouldn't have tapped into this raw talent that we had.
Yeah.
And I think that raw talent, it was birthed there. I met you. I made good friends with Point Blank. Yeah. I used to hang around Uko Flani Mau Mau the whole time.
Yeah.
I was the one brown guy in Uko Flani Mau Mau, which was crazy.
Yeah.
With Agano and Labala,
if you
hit them up, they'll be like, Poopy, yo, it's been a while, you know? And that was my crowd.
Yeah.
With Jirongi, with Wenyeji, with Zakai.
Yes. Even like Okto and Osari North,
Calligraph as well. With most of the artists. And I think, but it also boils down to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much competition at WAPI that you would be ostracized or you'd be put on the sideline and then you've been told, hey, you know what? I don't think we have space. So you have to be very aggressive. And this is not something that you sit down and say, hey, you know what? My turn will come. Your turn to eat will not come.
Yeah.
You have to push.
You have to
fight. You have to force yourself in the line, in the bank, wherever you are that you're trying to get it.
Exactly.
You have to do that.
Yeah.
So I think WAPI brought out that hustle spirit. Mm, and you know for yourself.
I like that, yeah. Because the thing about WAPI is that there was never a conversation around what is fully Kenyan, what is fully creative.
No.
There's no elitist sort of, conundrum as to who is amazing, who is great. No, is that you come here to be great.
You prove yourself.
You prove yourself. No,
the next WAPI, you maybe not prove yourself.
You're singing in front of rappers who might just boo you the shit out of you. But they're there like, that's our boy. That's Anto. Like, we sing with you, we rap. What do you want?
Exactly.
But, so now you've left. I mean, now WAPI is done with.
Yeah.
You know, it's closed off. It's always a funding thing. The time is over. And I think it was a good platform. We now said, now you know what? Now let's build ourselves. Then I begin to see you all over the world, literally.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of the places you've traveled, what the projects have been, and one, most importantly, how these things have come to happen.
That's another great question, man. Yeah. I think you're just bombarding me with great questions. I should have
but
been...
Can I be honest? Until today, for example, is when I've had this Kenyan, Indian conversation with you. It's hit me. I had goosebumps. It hit me when I was speaking to you. That I've never seen you. I've never seen you like that.
No, I mean so, you've never seen me that way.
You know why? Like, because first, when I mean like that, I don't mean there's no Indian way to be, you know? I've only seen you as a very, very talented person. And someone who never ages, but I don't know how this is possible. You really need to talk to us about your age at all.
You gotta talk to Pharrell about that.
Yeah, but you and Pharrell, same WhatsApp group.
I don't know. When I see him, maybe I'll be Pharrell.
And I know it's possible for you to meet someone like Pharrell.
Yeah.
I think it's very possible.
I think it's very possible.
It's very possible.
But
also, you've always been very outspoken.
Yeah.
And not outspoken to mean just kiherehere.
No.
Like, you're very clear, intentional, concise, precise about what you believe in, about what you... Everything, when you're doing your graffiti, about what you stand for, you're very particular.
Right.
So, you now... And that's why it's easy for me to bombard you with these great questions, because I feel like you have the agency inside here.
I do.
To deal with this stuff.
I do, you're right.
So, how do you move from the streets of Nairobi to where people... Artists understand what graffiti is, but you know, people legally, maybe they don't understand it. Maybe they, these guys are just rebellious or whatever.
Right.
To being in Argentina, to being in Mexico. How does that happen? How does 360 happen for you?
So I think when it's the thing is that after WAPI, a lot of artists realize that now we don't have a platform.
Mm-hmm.
They tried at Sarakasi, never went through.
Mm-hmm.
But it boils down to one thing: hunger. even if you make it to a certain level,
yeah,
the hunger that you have,
yeah,
for your craft, that will push you to the next level. I think it was just the hunger.
Mm-hmm.
So when WAPI ended, we did this project with Basco.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Spray for Change. Amazing project.
Wow, yeah.
The person behind that, yeah, it was really smart, really like calculating.
Yeah.
He saw the vision.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, never went further than 2 years or three years. We did some work at the United Nations. We did a lot of stuff like that. But I saw that opportunity. I did ask them, hey, I have been invited to go to New York to paint for a big festival. Is it possible for you to help me out?
Yeah, to help me get there.
I have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I said, hey, if I have nothing to lose, yeah, why don't I just ask them? And they said, you know what? This is,
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Since we've done all this and they've seen your work,
yeah,
let's fly you there.
Yeah.
Got the tickets, Emirates, man.
Yeah.
One of first class.
Yeah.
But it was economy, was okay.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, me, I'm getting there.
New York
the decision
City,
matters.
Hope,
yeah.
Upstate New
in
York.
In New York. First and foremost, the second person this week who I've met who's been to New York. I hate all of you people who've been to New
I've
York.
I've been to New York like 6-7
oh,
times,
God,
bro.
Shut up.
I've been too much in New York. And a lot of people in New York.
I
so.
Love New York. Like, you don't understand. I always tell guys, guys, me, I know
well,
that.
If you gonna, go, I'll connect you with my people.
Yeah, you gotta make it happen.
Yeah.
So now, so now, Boopy lands in New York.
I went upstate New York. So when I get to New York, they get me a flight, local flight, 1.5 hours. Flight,
yes,
to Rochester, New York.
Yeah.
The guy who's the organizer, really cool guy, he's a radiologist. I still talk to him till today.
Wow.
Mad respect.
Wow.
He picks me up. I'm in the car with one of the, like, a lady. She's called Lady Pink. And she is one of the oldest writers, like, she's old, but she's also one of the pioneers in New York.
Mm.
She was like 15, 16, painting the trains in New York. She was telling me, I never knew.
Wow.
And when I was painting a wall next to her and her husband. And the husband's brother was one of the first guys to write on the Brooklyn Bridge, to tag on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Wow.
He passed away. I think, I don't know what happened.
Mm.
I don't know the details of it, but he passed away. But I'm with these people, and this opened my world. I thought that, hey, Nairobi, we do graffiti, sure. But once we start moving outside of Nairobi, the borders open. I'm with the old school guys who started painting graffiti in New York that we look at as kids over here in Kenya, looking at the magazines.
Yeah,
like,
and now you're right smack next to them.
Friends with Lady Pink. I went to her house for dinner.
Wow.
And we were talking about conversations about art, street art, all the artists that I only know from the books. I got to know there. It opened up my world. I met artists from Europe, good friends. I met some artists from Africa, from South Africa, Fate 47, who's really, who's also a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about all these things. It just opens up your mind. And the thing about that is pushing you for your craft. You want to be different. The competition is no longer Kenya. The competition is worldwide.
Mm.
So it's about
where, and the enemy
where
we say is poverty. It's
no,
not me
no,
or
it's
you.
Not. I put it all
the
my
other things. Not you. Not
no,
me. Yeah.
It's a mindset.
Yeah.
I have been working really hard. I've been saving my money. Everything I've done is no sponsorship. It's my money.
Yeah.
I've saved every like shilling Kenya, that I get, dollar I get for flights to build a career. So you see me in Mexico. Chilling there, painting there, have my clientele. You see me in LA, working there.
But it shouldn't be misconstrued to you're out here vacationing.
No. I'm working. I'm grinding, bro.
And you know, Boopy is he's fallen on some inheritance. Nah, bro.
No, I have no inheritance.
He's literally sacrificing the joys. Like you could be busy driving some expensive car in Nairobi.
Yeah.
But if you do that, it means you can't get to Mexico.
Exactly.
It means you can't. Survive in Argentina.
Exactly. Exactly. And I was in Cuba. I've been in Cuba 2 times.
Yeah. I like how you said you're in Cuba.
I'm Cuba.
Hey, he was in Cuba.
I'm in Cuba in La Havana.
Oh God. You know, first and foremost, because I see all your Instagram and that's why I know all the places you go to.
Yeah.
You really go to the most amazing places.
I know, thank you, man.
So you're here with Lady Pink, with her family, you know, with her Lisa with her family. How does it feel to be in the midst of the greats? How does that make you feel in terms of, I've worked so hard, oh my God, I am here.
Yeah.
Do you pinch yourself and say, shit, look at me?
Oof, that's a good question as well, man. I think when you're in the mix, you don't really I mean, you do appreciate how far you've reached, but when you're alone, that time to self-reflect, that meditation on a flight or on a bus, no internet, no nothing. You think about those days.
Wow.
Even now, I still think about those days. Wow. Like, I am blessed.
Yeah.
I am super lucky to make that choice to get to that level and say, hey, you know what, man? This is crazy. I never thought in my entire life I would be doing this for a career, bro.
Wow.
It was not a decision that I sat down and I said, hey, let's do some cultural appropriation because hip-hop is selling.
Exactly.
I've been born and raised.
This is me.
You know, like, this is another conversation about cultural appropriation. But anyway.
Yeah.
When you're born into this thing as your first, like your first CD that I ever got was a Tupac CD, Tupacalypse Now.
Yeah.
That was his first album in 1991 or 1990. And I was like, here.
Yeah.
That got me into hip hop. Mm-hmm. That got me into discovering the beef between these two camps.
Exactly.
All of that.
Yeah.
And it was just right. I did a little bit of rap. I did a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
With Point Blank, with Black Skills.
Yeah.
They all know, you know. But I gravitated toward street art, you know, and making that decision, like, it was not even a decision, it was organic, like, you just flow and you're like, you know what, this is my ocean, I want this.
What did you learn about yourself when you're, what are you learning about yourself as you travel the world, when you're in Mexico, when you're in Cuba, when you're in Argentina, you know, when you're in the midst of people who don't speak your language, what do you realize about yourself, about the nuances that create who you are? What do you learn?
One thing I learned is that I have to represent where I'm coming from, especially being a mix. Well, I wouldn't say an entire mix. I have both cultures, which I'm proud of, the Kenyan one and the Indian one. So I do represent those equally, or mostly it's the Kenyan one because I'm more connected to it. My friends, the way we talk, the way we think also is very important. There's a certain Kenyan way of thinking.
Yeah, we're very different.
We're very different. But the hustle is there.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. Second is more like, I'm in this space, so I have to make sure that whatever I'm putting out there in terms of my work, it has to be at par. It cannot be one of those substandard projects that I do just because I'm blessed to be there.
Exactly,
no, I'm blessed to be there, but I need to paint.
I literally present a whole culture. Country. Yeah, whole
I have done projects in France, for example. Everybody else in that festival, someone's from Holland, someone's from Italy, someone's from Australia, someone's from what? But they see my tag, Kenya. People just flood.
Flock,
They ask me questions.
Yeah.
I always tell them, this is how my history is.
Mm-hmm.
And they always are like, yeah, it's fine. Because in Morocco, they have the same. In Nigeria, they have the same. You have people moving. Migration is everywhere.
Yeah.
But they always respect where you're coming from.
Exactly.
And that curiosity, you see, that's flying the flag.
Yeah.
This thing of like, we need to pay people to start flying the flag. Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
If you have the right people.
Yeah.
I've been to so many places.
Yeah.
In Cuba, I've painted. And they've always asked me, where are you from? Kenya. And that's when the story comes. Mexicans always ask me questions. Are you a runner? I'm like, yeah, we've been running all
our
time.
Yeah, we've run all our lives.
But we don't run
I'm running away. I'm running from. So I'm running to you guys.
To you guys.
So I can create, so I can be me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know? And it's crazy.
Yeah.
But it breaks the ice. And you can have these conversations with these people.
Mm.
So I think coming from where we don't know these things, unless when you travel, you know, you are proud. You see how they wear the
Exactly,
Kenyan
bracelet,
I don't wear it.
Yeah, I think because we're Kenyan. Like, for me, I don't have one.
This nationalism,
when you're
outside.
When you're not Kenyan, you see it and you're like, I want it.
I want it.
As we're like, me, I'm already Kenyan. It's okay. I'm fine with it. So, what culture have you sort of immersed yourself in? First, do you speak any foreign languages?
Yeah, I speak Spanish.
You speak Spanish?
Not completely, but I speak enough Spanish to get me through a lot.
Which country did you go to and it literally changed your mindset? Maybe in terms of like, ooh, I would move here if I didn't have ties in Kenya. I would move here.
I think Mexico.
Wow. Why?
I would move Mexico. I think art is amazing. Culture is amazing. Mm. People are great.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more to do there. Like, just Mexico City has over 300 museums.
Yeah.
You can visit each museum every day.
Yes.
And you'll still not be able to do all of them.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And they have represented their culture. They've preserved their culture really well. Right now, we have Halloween that's coming. And then there's Dia de Muertos. Dia de Muertos, you know it. It's the Mexican one, which is celebrating the Day of the Dead.
The Day of the Dead. It's like
it's a five-day
Halloween
festival.
Of sorts, but
you know, it's
very intentional. It's not just some random.
Exactly.
Yeah, wearing costumes. It's really
dope.
Respecting the dead.
You go to the cemetery and they people cook for the loved ones who have passed away.
Yeah.
They cook for them their favorite food.
Yeah, but I know you as a
flowers.
Kenyan at the beginning. You know Kenyans kuna kaushamba.
No,
I know you are like,
ukiangali, ukiangali,
una
hepa. Ukiangali,
una like, bro, akana. You know, I mean, people will say, it's okay. They'll even tell you even your dead people, if you have any ancestors, it's your time now. Like, get in the zone with us and respect them. You're like, I get
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But for me, if my parents had I'm here with the dead, they'd be like, Bupi, tulikuambia.
Ni uchawi.
Tulikuambia ukienda kwa watu.
Hepa Buddha.
Uziete kufanya hizi vitu.
Afana, sasa wangalia.
Yeah, but it's nice when you expose yourself that way, because it also allows you, because a lot of us do fear death, but it makes you, allows you to live.
But it's another process. It's transcending.
Mm.
Life ends, then death is another transition.
It's respected. It's
but they
it's inevitable.
They represent the dead like
they don't play.
It's amazing.
I mean, I've seen them from their artifacts, from the art and what they even sell to you in that period of time.
Right.
The way they have the processions.
Right.
I mean, for me, what that festival made me understand is to not really focus on death.
Yeah.
On this big phenomena on death,
right.
But also to focus on life.
On
because
life.
Once I'm gone,
right.
The ones who are alive will deal with me.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
why am I so focused
yeah.
about how I'm gonna go?
No.
They will deal with me. They'll deal
exactly.
with me.
Exactly.
So there's that, and then there's also Cuba, which I mean, for the longest time, it's very artistic, but also an artist
yeah.
out of necessity to survive. Because
yeah.
the longest time they've had embargoes, they've had
yeah.
all this,
yeah.
you know, just
yeah.
the whole world being against them. But it leads me to also now bring in a controversial conversation, which is with the Palestinians.
Yeah.
Someone, I was watching a guy called, I think, Yusuf Bassem. I think he was with
Yeah, he's
yeah.
an Egyptian comedian.
Yeah,
he lives in Los Angeles.
He's the most funniest, dark, humorous. Yeah, yani he's just ridiculous.
Yeah, but he's cracked the code.
He's dope.
The only way you can speak
yeah.
about certain things.
Yes.
Is if you use sarcasm.
Exactly.
Because people don't understand.
They don't understand.
If you're going to fight fire with fire,
yeah.
they're going to label you as certain things.
You're going to have a whole conversation where you're being asked, do you denounce Hamas? And you're just like, okay,
but they're not the
I
Palestinian
do, but now,
people.
That's not why we are here.
Yeah.
But because when you say, and I realize most of the conversations begin with, do you denounce Hamas? And what they're basically alluding to is that once you first have to say yes, for you to now agree that anything that is meted on to the Palestinians, there's grounds for terrorizing them.
Yeah.
Well, the real conversation should be, do you denounce terrorism? Period. Because all sides,
right.
I mean, there's a whole issue. Before we get into the political side of it,
right.
as an artist
right.
of our times, we always have to stand for something or
right.
fall for anything.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and ask us about, you know, are the Israelis right, are the Palestinians wrong, or whatever. But what is your, because you've seen it, in either in Mexico, in Cuba, and when you
I've
really
seen
feel
it in New
people
York also
really,
with the yeah, protests there,
the protests,
I've been part of them.
Where a whole nation is literally felt to feel like they are like animals or like dogs. How does it make you feel when a whole population, generation of people literally cannot speak up for themselves?
Yeah. One, in this situation as an artist, I think, well, even not just an artist. People are artists, but people don't even usually read or do their research in terms of these important things. Everything we've seen in the past with the ANC in South Africa, with in Yugoslavia,
yeah.
What else? In the Armenian genocide.
Mm-hmm.
What else can we
in
say?
In Uganda, here.
In Uganda.
You know, yeah, with their
right,
position,
with the,
yeah.
With the LRA,
even,
with the Lord's Resistance Army.
Even with BYM, I mean.
Exactly, just right now.
I can't even breathe.
Exactly. Even with the IRA in Ireland, with the indigenous population in any part, Australia, whatever. You have to understand one thing, that Western propaganda always triumphs, because this is how we've been programmed. And it's not, I don't think it's our fault, but I think we are living in an information age. You have everything on your device.
Yeah.
You have people who are talking about independent reports,
yeah.
things like that. And then at the same time, it's nothing to do with religion or to do with a people. It's to do with humanity.
Mm.
If you see that this is what's happening, and then there's a certain level of propaganda that's been perpetuated, and you are blindly following that because you have allegiances or you do not want to face the truth, you can always switch the truth. Doesn't
yeah.
matter.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's happening now
yeah.
in our time.
Yeah.
10 years from now, it may end. And then we'll look at it back. Just the same way we had the Mau Mau and we had the home guard.
Endelea tu. Mm-hmm.
Just the way we had the Mau Mau and the home guard.
Yes.
Those are the same people. The home guard used to, you remember how they used to put on these these sheets on people who are going to identify who are rebellion.
Exactly.
Who are rebelling against the British government here in Kenya. Yeah. And they would take them in the Land Rovers and they'll disappear. But these are our own people.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the concept behind identity card.
It's fucking crazy.
The ID, it comes from the Kipande system. Exactly. That you have to walk and explain who you are because you're not rebellious. You're not the part of the rebellion. And we still have the same shit.
Rwanda, '94.
I mean, exactly.
In 100 days, they killed between 800,000 to 1 million people.
Yeah.
In 100, that's 10,000 people a day.
It happens '94. Please note, in South Africa,
apartheid,
but even as Mandela is becoming president, has been released, this happened in Rwanda and some Western and Yugoslavia. And Western countries said what? Mm-hmm. They said, no, there's nothing. It's just a political issue. Only for them to realize a million people.
You know what they said? They said this is a tribal thing.
Yes.
That they are just going to sort it out.
Exactly.
But weapons were brought in by France, by Belgium, by the Israelis. These weapons were given. Mm. It's the funniest thing. It's not about being a certain way or against people. The facts are there. How can you dispute that? People are trying to be delusional about a history of 4,000 years ago.
Yes.
If you trace roots.
Yeah.
Into that land of what you call Palestine, it's always been there.
Yeah.
Even when the time for Hitler, when he was persecuting all the Jews, and putting them in ghettos in Poland and whatever, most of them also were trying to escape, and they did escape on the boats to go to Palestine. And the Palestinians told them, "Listen, we are from the same father.
Yeah.
Come to the land.
Yes.
We will take care of you.
Yes.
This is your land as much as it's ours.
Yes.
Run away from these Europeans who are killing you." And they did.
Yeah.
But then they came up with the European Jews came up with the concept of Zionism.
Yes.
That we need a state to protect ourselves.
Exactly.
And that's when this thing started.
Yeah.
It's not about religion.
Yeah. And remember also,
it's all about
that,
land. It's always about land.
We're talking about the 1898 around 1904, 1905, where they had actually scouted Western Kenya.
They scouted Argentina as one and Uganda as second.
No. The thing is, when they say Uganda, is because they always thought about the old protectorate.
Right.
But now
right.
Uganda, that side that was considered Ugandan, had moved to Kenya. So they considered Uasin Gishu. My reason for bringing that is because to say,
right,
when you refuse to have a say in a whole generation of people, in a population of people being hurt, being terrorized,
right,
you're forgetting that this would have been easily at your doorstep.
It's not, so we forget.
We forget.
It's not. The same thing, look, Mahatma Gandhi was called a terrorist.
Yeah.
Nelson Mandela was called a terrorist.
But please.
But these are Western Mau,
it took Kibaki's time. Please note, the
Mau Mau,
even
them
during Kenyatta's time, they did not denounce Mau Mau as terrorists.
They were still fighting the
Kenyatta regime. Oh my God, you know, these guys might just come back one day.
Today, we are lucky we can have this conversation.
Thank you. That we can talk locked up. Right now, as we speak here, this place will be closed.
No, for sure.
Aliana would have been like, guys, I need an email from you guys to know exactly what you talk about.
What kind of conversation?
And then I
want
to send this to the OCS in Westlands so they can approve of the conversation you're going to have.
Right.
I was reading an excerpt. Let me not be too personal, but I refused to buy the book by Beth Mogo, and there was an excerpt in the Daily Nation on, you know, a serialization. And she was saying that Jomo Kenyatta refused to have the Mau Mau in his cabinet. And sort of in power.
That's because
he was afraid that they would end up having these generals trying to overtake and overpower. And
right.
And I'm like, and she said, oh, if you think about it, he was probably very reasonable. And I'm like, why are you whitewashing the fact that what he basically did was say that the people who fought for this country do not deserve to be in power. They'd rather be destitutes.
Right.
That actually be powerful, because they are powerful, they'll take over from me.
Yeah.
And trying to whitewash with books and with history.
Yeah.
And we like to celebrate people who've written books. Well, but we must also question the nonsense they write in those books. I'll be very honest. I completely refuse and refute the fact that Kenyatta was anything but clever when he said that I don't want to have the Mau Mau generals in cabinet or in the military, because they might decide one day to take over from me. you don't have a right to say that. The only reason why you probably ended up at the top is because you could speak English.
No, but he
with
was
your nose.
But he was sponsored, right? He went to England.
Thank you.
And then he came back.
A project.
So when colonization ended, the British were like, hey, we can still give you Kenya.
Yeah.
But we'll still have our guy.
Projects.
That's what happened. It's a project.
Yeah, and that's why the likes of Gaddafi and the likes of...
Even in Cuba with Fidel Castro and Che Guevara. Yeah, Che Guevara, yeah. After that, left. He left and he started doing his own revolution.
Yeah.
He was, I think, captured in Bolivia or something. And he's an Argentinian doctor. He was an Argentinian doctor. Yeah. But he was sold out, I don't know by who.
Yeah.
To the CIA, and they got him in 1968. I can't remember when.
Thomas Sankara, same story.
As well.
This guy really helped. And he said, guys, we don't want your aid.
Lumumba,
we want, please.
In Congo.
Patrice Lumumba was literally sold out.
Yeah.
By his BFF of all those years.
Siseko, what's his name?
Yeah, right next to him. And they dragged him in the streets. Killed him in the streets. Somebody was liberating the Congo.
But remember, that's your colonizer. That's your Western power. It's the same thing that's happening right now.
Mm.
You don't need to know. You need to know the history, yes.
Yeah.
But you don't need to know the religion. You just need to know humanity is suffering.
But
that's
now,
it, period.
But that's the thing. But
nothing
now,
else.
Now the most powerful thing that we have is the truth. The first casualty of any war is the truth.
Right.
And that's exactly what's happening. Is that before you speak about Palestinians, you'll be reminded that they've beheaded children. And you're like, where are you getting this information from?
Yeah, it's not
verified. Because it's been stamped as the truth, now you feel like you cannot immediately talk about. And people must be able to, the same way when we have, there's nothing like a Muslim terrorist, exactly, like Islamic terrorist. But a terrorist does not have a religion.
Think about
it. So when you begin to come against all Muslims, against anyone who professes to be in Islam religion, you're forgetting
the first terrorists in the history of the world. The first ones were the Zealots and the Maccabees.
Mm-hmm.
They were the first. They coined the term terrorism comes from there.
Mm-hmm.
It was coined with the Zealots, mm-hmm. the Maccabees.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been even Islamic or mm-hmm. Hindu. Because you can be extremist.
Yeah.
But this is where it came from, uprisings and things like that. Even if today, if Jesus Christ was alive, he would be labeled as
a terrorist.
Because what he did, the same people who claim to sell out, like they say that, you know, we are chosen people. Sure.
Yeah.
That's your belief. 100%. Yeah. Agree or disagree.
Yeah.
Okay. But the Pharisees, they sold out Christ to Caesar,
mm-hmm.
because he was against business in the temple of his
exactly.
of his father.
And Caesar said, I don't see any
and they said, this guy is trouble.
Yeah.
What did they do?
Yeah.
Roman capital punishment on the cross. But anyway, that is important in terms of politics. But
no, and I think it's important for us to have this conversation because the context is very clear. Is that regardless of any war that is happening, regardless of what feels like it's right to say or not to say,
right,
it must be, we must always come back to the foundation of every single thing, the foundation of humanity,
right,
which is truth, which is fact.
Exactly.
And your fact might be a lie. And
right.
I think it's important for us to be like, you know what, I know you might be wrong. And to really sit and say, before I bomb your ass, to really say, like, why do you think I'm wrong?
Right.
And I explain to you and I say, because da, 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 this is the proof, this is what I have.
Yeah.
So before I kill you or stab you because you are a threat to my truth, let me first question and dissect, what does your truth mean for me and my humanity?
Right.
Does it allow me to necessitate me to be exist?
Right.
And if your truth will not allow me to exist, there's a problem because your truth cannot be a reason for me to not exist.
Yeah, exactly. The world's big.
Yeah, like
everybody.
Just because you're right doesn't mean that now this guy should be killed. Because I mean, look at him. What is he saying? What is he telling me? No.
Right.
First, examine what I'm trying to tell you, and then maybe we can live together. But people don't want to have that conversation. We don't want to talk about it. We're very keen on impressing anybody else but the truth.
Like most of these revolutions that have come. Yeah, the truth is there for sure. Like right now when we're talking about these things, even Malcolm X had said it himself, that it's not usually about religion and things like that.
Yeah.
It's about one basic thing. It's land. People fight for land. People bleed for land. Because it's the land of the ancestors, it's the land of whatever.
Yeah.
But they've always fought for land. The Mau Mau didn't fight for Christianity or Kikuyu gods Luo gods.
They're like, no, land.
It was always land.
Yeah.
It's the same thing when we go to fight with Uganda, for example. It's land. If you go to fight with Somalia, it's land.
It's
if you
land.
Fight with Eritrea and Ethiopia with that...
Even this small island called Migingo.
Exactly.
It's land.
It's land.
Yeah.
Even it can be ocean, but it's still... in quote-unquote land.
Exactly.
It's what you own. Mm. When Mexico had their war, when the U.S. had them, the U.S.-Mexico war, when California, New Mexico, and Texas, all of that was annexed into the American territory, was land. When Tel Aviv was bought by Zionist Jews from the British by paying money, that's land. When Louisiana Purchase happened by the Americans putting their money together and buying it off from the French was land. Everything is about land.
Yeah.
The religion part comes because people get riled up.
Exactly.
Emotions.
Yeah.
It's not about facts. It's about feelings then.
Yes.
Everybody gets crazy. No, you did this because my
exactly,
God.
Yeah.
No. This is like Mortal Kombat. You've not seen your God. I've not seen my God.
Yes.
It's things that have been passed down. But it's like, whose God is the best?
Like, and even if I have, I need to see God through you. So I need to teach you.
God is love.
Exactly.
God is patience.
Thank
God is
you.
Compassion. The Bible says it itself, even when you fall in love.
Yeah.
Love is not about possession. Love is about letting somebody go free. That is what love is. And it's about being patient, being understanding, being loving, being there for somebody, giving up something about yourself so you can be there for somebody and then help that person get through it. That's love. That's what it is. Sacrifice. There's a lot of things. Compromise.
Exactly.
It's not like you lose yourself.
Exactly.
But you do certain things out of love.
Yeah, you find yourself actually more.
You see?
Who do you anchor to in terms of like, whether it's readings, whether it's historical figures who, when you read about them, when you, they ground you and they've helped to build this brain that I can feel today. Who are these people?
I like reading. I mean, I've been reading a lot before. I still read. I like Edward Said, who talks about the Palestinian issue. I read about a lot of poetry from Mahmoud Darwish. Books about even Naomi Klein, who talks about the shock doctrine, the stuff that's happened in Hawaii, like crazy stuff that rich people do so they can steal your shit. Right now, I'm not. I don't know what I'm reading. I don't think I'm reading anything right now. But those are the kind of... I read books. I also read... Like, I see what... For example, Tupac. Tupac, because I grew up listening to that as my first albums. And he had a collection of books, you know. And that inspired me. You read literature about revolution. I read the autobiography of Malcolm X.
Yes.
A lot of people read that revolutionary stuff, but they do the fucking opposite.
Exactly,
and it kind of baffles you.
Yeah.
Like, you read Malcolm X,
and
you're going to do the opposite? You're supporting a different cause?
Yeah.
Like, how stupid can you be?
We're so quick to, you know, to want to associate. But when it comes to actions,
no, exactly.
Well,
so those are the kind of things that I read. I mean, it's always good to... I also read stuff to do with art and how the art industry works and how graffiti has always been something important. If you look at the revolution in Egypt, the revolution there was... A lot of work was put out on the walls.
Mm.
Was all graffiti stuff. Mm. Even the Jasmine Revolution in Tunisia, Tunis, I don't know what year it was.
Yeah.
But they used a lot of graffiti to put it out, the Arabic writings.
Yeah.
If you see things in South Africa, they're also putting up these posters and stuff.
Exactly,
Even Russia, they had Russian propaganda that was pushed outside of Russia for support, you know, and people use those colors and use those meanings. Like in Tunisia, for example, when I was there after the revolution, they were telling me that don't use the color purple because it represents the government. There's certain things, even like here, when we painted the train, the train with Bank Slave and a couple of other artists.
Yes.
A peace train.
Yes.
Before the election in 2013, I think it was. Right before it was supposed, and this train passes through Kibera into Kikuyu, and I think, and then I don't know where else, and comes back. But they changed the cars different times, right?
Yeah.
But we were told not to paint orange and not to paint blue.
Because you've been cognizant about
parties,
everything around you.
It goes through Kibera and you see orange, they're going to be happy. But
exactly.
It goes through another area.
Kikuyu
and
becomes another thing,
They're going to tear it down.
Exactly, yeah.
Where will each other, you know?
Yeah.
And it's over. So we kept colors neutral because it's also another science that you have to understand. Like, your knowledge has to be in the streets.
Mm.
Like now me, you put me in a place, a rough neighborhood in Mexico, I will survive because I understand, thanks to my upbringing here, painting in Kibera, painting in Dandora Phase 2. I used to go there a lot to see my friends in Ukoflani when they had their base with Giuliani, with Gaza, with... I mean, the whole crew, man.
Yeah.
And that allowed me to understand. To
everybody.
All of them, Jirong, everybody. And it was wild because times you look at them and they are fucking crazy. But you are there and you are protected. You're in this shelter and you're like, this is dope.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. And it was genuine. It was not like, hey, I want to be cool, so I want to hang out with you. We yeah. just made a great connection.
Exactly. So
those are the kind of things that I think will open up your horizon.
Yeah. I mean, in the same space, how do you ensure your mental health, your mental space is well taken care of? How do you ensure when you're traveling, when you're seeing these things, atrocities, before, sometimes even after, or in the middle of all of this stuff,
yeah.
how do you ensure that, you know, you stay sane and not go nuts from, man, from everything?
You gotta be tough, man. But I think that, I don't know, I feel like when you travel, there's always that gift of giving people, you know, your presence. If you make good money, it's good to take some of your friends out for lunch, for dinner.
Yeah.
So they forget the hardships in their life. And you bring in that inspiration into their work, into the conversations.
Mm.
Even here, when I'm here and you meet up with like young people who want to paint.
Yeah.
Sure, I have the time.
Yeah.
But sometimes I don't. But when we do connect, we talk about the journey. And that inspires somebody. For a while, you forget about your troubles. Troubles are always going to be
there. Yeah.
It's like it's like the heartbeat.
It's always going to happen.
Ups and downs, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. You find things that you enjoy. And you fixate yourself there.
Exactly.
Iso zingine unaacha manze.
Unaacha manze. I mean, so there's always, like you said, there's always going to be. Yeah.
Politics is crazy.
It's always going to happen. Yeah. We're celebrating 50 years of hip hop.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know hip hop is the core.
It's
of
the core.
Graffiti is part of the elements of hip hop. I mean, when you look at hip hop then and growing up and now, what do you miss? What do you feel lacks? You know, how do you celebrate hip hop as Boopie?
Well, I mean, I'm still loyal to my playlist.
Yeah.
Thanks to Spotify, I got a good playlist. But I got a mix of a lot of things. But I still stay true to my hip-hop that's from the 90s, the 80s. You listen to Nas, Illmatic. You listen to Big L. Immortal Technique.
Yeah.
Which I had the privilege of meeting him in New York.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Wow. How was that experience?
It was great because I met him and we talked a little bit. But he's also very vocal in terms of political issues, which I love.
Mm.
Because he's not somebody who just follows.
Yeah.
He's somebody who thinks.
Yeah.
And he has a lot of history. That's somebody who can inspire you mm-hmm. and me.
I love when people have a backbone.
No, that's a backbone. No matter what happens, you stay your backbone. Ground.
You just like, listen, I might offend you, but imagine I'm about to. It is what it is.
So I met him at a Zulu Nation concert.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing a Zulu Nation concert. One of my friends said, hey, it's a Zulu Nation concert. Let's go. I said, let's go. I had a friend was dancing, was b-boying, amazing dude. He's from Iran, but he lives in the US. Super cool dude.
Yeah.
Met Immortal Technique. We talked to him with a couple of friends. We were talking to him, and he was solid because I have friends who already know him.
Yeah.
Who've done work with him.
Yeah.
With Dead Prez, with all these other guys who are very conscious about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I love. Like I love Dead Prez. I listen to Dead Prez like. Every day, even now in the car, it's Dead Prez, RBG, all day. A lot of people right now don't know Dead Prez. If you do know Dead Prez.
Are you talking about a dead artist?
Go listen to Dead Prez.
Yeah.
And then you understand DP. Yeah. You know, DP.
You'll stay alive, man.
That was conscious stuff. That because Dead Prez teaches you about the Black Panther Party.
Mm.
Kwame Ture.
Mm.
Peter O'Neill.
Yeah.
Bobby Seale. Like, you know, what are they called? This guy, what's he called? UAP Newton.
Yes.
That is something that you need to know.
Exactly.
Like you need to read Bobby Seale's book called Seize the Time, which is, it's a revolution.
Which
art and revolution is together.
Yeah.
Like now, if you talked about the Palestinian issue, the first intifada, they have two intifadas that have happened. The third intifada that's supposed to happen is supposed to be through music and art.
Mm-hmm.
To bring out the Palestinian struggle through music and art.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a non-violent way.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also a powerful way to
very
reach
powerful.
People.
Music and art, very powerful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have people raising money through concerts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the wrong causes.
Yeah.
Might be right for them.
Yeah.
But music and art,
that's
revolution. Even when you saw in South Africa, they had many, many festivals about
I mean when you look at the revolution in South Africa, it was largely pushed by music.
Yeah.
I mean the singing, the chanting, the choirs, the people, the streets.
Even the boycotting of music festivals.
Thank you.
That's still music.
It's still music.
Pink Floyd because like Roger Waters saying, hey, you know how much
music means to you, so we're gonna take away that power to support your music.
Exactly.
So you can feel it.
Exactly. And
so
that's the powerful
thing. In the same spirit, we also have a lot of dissociation with music and art in our schools.
Right.
In fact, if anything, when you when you look at agriculture, taken away from schools, and then when we come talk about food security, now we want guys to go back to learning about these things. When
that's why. That's
why. Like, oh, we need to better ourselves. We need to be more creative. I'm like, how are people gonna be creative if it doesn't start in school? If you've demonized what it means to be a creative, if you've demonized music.
Right.
If we still have art and craft, you'd know immediately from the onset, this one is gonna be an amazing artist.
Yeah.
We don't have any of that. How do you not challenge the government or anybody, or do you feel like you want to have programs where you can bring back art to the schools, bring back music to the schools?
I think for the schools it's difficult because they are run in a certain way.
Yeah.
Everything has changed in this
very
world.
Very bureaucratic.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the right word. So much red tape.
Yeah.
And people are not really, they say educated, but they're not really educated.
Mm.
There are many things in life that God talks to you through these mediums.
Yes.
One of them is art.
Yes.
And that art encompasses music and visuals and all the other things. Even cooking is an art.
Mm.
Whatever you want to say is art, right?
Mm.
But what I can do with my gift, my talent is spread it with people that are close to me. Mm-hmm. I cannot change the world completely.
Exactly.
If I go to look for that, to change the world entirely, it's impossible.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can change, like for you and I, we are talking. I know I've sparked something in
you. Exactly.
You will take it to your bubble.
Yes.
And your bubble will take it to their bubble. Everybody has their bubble.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the spark comes. That's
But even the fact that when you speak here on the podcast, on the platform, and you say that I've been to Mexico, I've been to Argentina, I've been to Tunisia, I've been to all these places that you've been to, and somebody hears and they say, let my kid draw. Maybe they just needed that to hear that and be like, you know, I'll allow my kid to draw. My kid always loves drawing.
I always encourage that.
Like, let them draw, because now they realize
that
all these things that I'm trying to make them achieve, this one is achieving by drawing. And this one in the house can do it.
Can sing.
So you do it. So you will stay in school, yes.
Even if your child can cook.
Cook.
Man, let him cook.
Because the thing is always when you realize, oh my God, my kid is cooking on TikTok and they are bloody famous and they're making money. Then you realize, oh my God, I should stop trying to live vicariously through my kid by letting them be an accountant, forcing them to have to do this.
Those are old traditions.
And then how many accountants are we going to have, man? Who's gonna make money? The accountants have to count the money. So who's making the money?
People like us.
Yeah, we have to make the money so they can count it.
You hire one accountant and it's over.
Imagine, these are your tools.
Right.
You know, for me, they always feel like guns.
It's a weapon. This is a weapon.
They always feel like guns because when you guys are walking around with them, I mean, it feels like you guys are like hiding.
Yeah.
And you go and... So first and foremost, when you paint walls in the streets of Bolivia, in Monrovia, in South Africa, whatever, there's a time it's called tagging.
Yeah.
When you paint, when you write your name.
When you write your name. But that was a long time ago. Like I said, everything has to evolve.
Uh-huh.
You can't always be in a constant state.
Yeah.
There has to be either you devolve or you evolve.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people who came out of WAPI, what we had talked about, most artists devolved. The ones who are hungry evolved.
Mm.
You see it. Like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to thank nobody else but you.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
You saw the picture.
You saw
the vision.
Yeah.
Same thing I did.
Yes.
That's why we are where we are.
Yeah.
And we're having this conversation.
So we're still able to sit here and
I could have been doing a 9-to-5, bro.
Yeah.
I would be doing a 9-to-5 I'd be like, graphic design.
I'm sorry. I really, but it's no longer. Or you probably be asking me, Anto, why how come you don't have a podcast by now?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You see, that's the thing. But you had to build all this to get to where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll still do whatever you need to do later. But that's the thing. Like, I evolved from the whole idea of tagging. And I did graffiti, yes. That was my basis. Then I started doing more of the murals, which is more of the street art. What the label is as
exactly,
a category.
Yeah.
But I'm just a painter.
Yeah.
I paint murals. I paint big walls.
You paint intervene. This. We're going to pan and show you guys.
This kind of stuff.
Si, señor. And we're going to show you more about how it looks like. So we'll show guys how that looks like.
Yeah.
But in the same spirit, tell us, how does it happen? How for you to be inspired to create something like Si Señor, since you can see it from here, take us through what happened. Like, you got a brief, or how did Akina Liana know about you? How does, for people to understand that this isn't a thing of like, no, like how
No.
It's very professional also. How did this happen?
So I've been talking with them for NSK for before this project, 2 years.
Yeah.
And I was here when there was like they were breaking this thing down and really building it up. So it was never part of the project. It was something else. It never got like fixated, like, you have to paint this. Then I saw this and I'm like, what is this spot? And they're like, ah, it's a Mexican restaurant. I'm like, give it to me. Let me paint
it.
Because I spent so much time in Mexico.
Yeah.
And I can bring that essence. So they gave me the color scheme and they said, hey, this is what we want. And even on the van over here, that's the agave. That's the maguey. Maguey is it's where the mezcal or the tequila comes from. That's the flower. It's an abstract flower.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, the maguey.
Oh, now I see the...
In the middle, that's the maguey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the maguey is like the heart of the... It's where the tequila... Where
it's like, you know how the aloe vera looks like?
They chop off the leaves.
Yeah, they chop off the leaves. And then
that's the heart.
Then there's a way they chop off the roots so they can... the corazón.
Corazón de maguey, which is, which is the heart.
First and foremost, you look very Mexican when you speak like that.
I mean, I got
The maguey. The corazón. You look so Mexican. I'm like, who am I sitting with?
You got to play the part, my friend.
I love it.
You gotta play the part.
So now that's what it is.
So that's the maguey. Even the other side, it's a green maguey, which is very abstract.
Yeah.
It also represents, you know, spirit and culture.
But also from an artistic, but also from a brief perspective. But you're also challenging us and challenging corporates, telling people that, you know what, this literally, this, you don't have to do things as usual.
Yeah.
Let's go out there, like, get me to come on your project,
right?
So I can bring all my exposure, my travels, my all these things, and show you a different thing. It can't always be the same thing. Ati, you know, our color brand is green. Let's paint color green. There's more to art than just a paint
than
or
a brief
color. Yeah,
I have worked with like digital agencies. This is a problem I have in this country.
Yeah,
like, even outside, I think digital agencies can be very boxed in. You have a brief, you work on a brief, and that's fine. The creativity is very minimal. It's like 5%, 10%. But once you give an artist full reign, of course, you're going to have a back and forth, and figure it out. It's your brand, whatever.
Yeah.
But once you give an artist that, you're going to get the purest form of art that you can be proud of. But in this country, a lot of people who work for these agencies are always like, hey, you know what? We are the artists. We are the creative people. And I don't like that terminology that we are creatives.
Yeah.
Not everybody's a creative.
Yeah.
You just give it to yourself.
This isn't sometimes you just
throw around. People are throwing that thing like, I have OCD. Bro, you know what OCD is?
Yeah.
OCD is...
Oh, yeah, it's true. Even when it comes to mental health, we love to throw these things at it.
Like, just throw it. I have OCD. Like,
there's a friend of mine
who says
her cat has anxiety.
Like, how?
I mean, just fuck
it's
out of here, man. What do you mean?
It's a cat.
How do you diagnose a cat?
Imagine. So
because I'm like, how come this cat doesn't want to like hang out with me when I come to your house? The cat is just
a cat.
You know, this cat has anxiety, so it doesn't like people. I'm like, fuck off.
No, all the cats are like that. Some cats are very clingy, some cats are not.
Yeah, but it's how we reduce people's experiences to an or
exactly.
we induce our experiences to be on the same level as you, so I can reduce your say or your fact in this matter.
Yeah.
I say, you know, I'm an artist. I'm, no, you're not.
No.
No, 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 no.
This is the problem I have. A lot of people, and then even this culture of everybody's positively reinforcing it. For example, you do some line work and you, amazing, this is beautiful. This should be up on a billboard. And I don't think so.
Yeah.
Like, honestly speaking.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's irrelevant.
Imagine,
fake positive reinforcement.
Exactly.
Even with kids, man.
If
a child comes number 5 running, amazing, you did a great job.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You did a great job. That's
it.
Leave it there. You start giving them medals and certificates. Come on,
Or you basically say, listen, that was nice.
Where's competition? Where's
but
the
also
spirit?
For number 1, 2, and 3, let them enjoy. This isn't your day.
And that's the thing.
Like, the idea of like, you also have to get a certificate. You have to be like, you're amazing. Because I grew up in a competitive world.
Me too.
When it came to sports day,
oh,
I knew my ass would sit there and watch everybody else.
Same thing.
I would sit there.
Right.
Even my own parents wouldn't come on sports day because you know how they have to make their parents run. And no. We will not even collapse. Because even we know you're not even going to compete.
Exactly.
But when it came to music, you sit there,
because
I'm gonna sit up there.
Exactly.
So it's also a tough love.
Right.
It's a tough love sort of thing. We're very quick to, you know, to want to, you know, to just cuddle everybody and cuddle everybody's feelings. Right. And when you speak like me, you rub everyone the wrong way. But look at me, we're still here.
Yeah.
Still standing.
Exactly.
How does the future look like for Boopy, for Wise 2? It's a very, I don't like asking this question because I always feel like, we can't really tell how it's going to look like. But how does it look like for you? What do you envision this future will look like? Where is this one place you want to go to, you haven't traveled to? I mean, you're just like, you know what? I want to go to Australia. And I don't know why they're stopping me from going there.
I've already been to Australia.
You see? Okay, let's do a breakdown.
I pay in Australia also.
Make sure you have the flags of all these countries.
I've been everywhere.
Okay, tell us where you've been.
I've been to Australia. Uh-huh. I've been to Malaysia, Singapore, uh-huh, India. I've been to... Well, I need to discover a little bit of Russia and China and Mongolia. I haven't been in those places, which I would love to. Japan as well, I would love to be.
Oh my God.
I've been to Europe.
I'd love to go to Japan.
Japan as well, I'd love to do it. I know I can do it.
Yeah.
It's just getting a project or just getting there.
Exactly.
Europe, a lot in Europe, in Austria, in Netherlands, in England, in France.
Yeah.
In Germany,
mm-hmm,
I painted in a lot in Latin America. I think my soul's very connected to Latin
China?
America. China, not yet. I was supposed to go there during, but then COVID struck.
Yeah, COVID did its thing China.
Yeah, but from China, man, it was like, if I go there, I'm going to be trapped for 2 years.
You'll not leave,
So that never happened. But anyway, I have other places that I've been to Latin America quite a bit. I've been to Argentina, to Cuba, to Mexico.
Yeah.
To the
US, feel like you haven't traveled
Canada.
A lot in Africa because they don't get it?
The thing is, I have traveled to Tunisia twice. I've been to Rwanda. I've been to South Africa twice.
Nice.
I've been to TZ as well.
Nice.
The problem with Africa is that there are not so many flights.
Yeah.
It's not like when you're in Europe, you get
And they're expensive.
It's $700 just to go to Malawi.
Yeah.
It's right here.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah.
Past Mozambique, Malawi, $700.
Yeah.
South Africa, the same, $900.
It's expensive,
Eritrea, I have a good friend in Eritrea. Like, he's living here, but a very good friend of mine. He said, hey, let's go to Eritrea. But the funniest thing is, before they open up the borders or anything like that where you could fly, you had to take a flight, Emirates, to go to Dubai.
Yeah.
You leave your continent.
Wow.
To come back to your continent,
wow,
which cost you $800 to $900.
Wow.
To go to Eritrea, which is an hour and a
half. Yeah, yeah.
Now Ethiopian Airlines flies there.
Mm.
I'm not sure if they still do it, but what I know from my knowledge...
It's not been an easy ride at all.
You can fly to Eritrea,
exactly,
which is supposed to be
$300. I have a friend of mine who came from London to Nairobi, and it's cheaper for her than to like Nairobi to Dar es Salaam.
Oh, 100%.
It's like, bro, continent. Let me just go to Diani. I'm not going to travel around Africa.
Fuel
it's too
cost,
expensive.
The taxes, it's expensive.
Yeah.
This is the thing when you find a lot of leaders who are coming to with the idea of creating a unified Africa.
Yeah.
In terms of voting, in terms of travel, in terms of a lot of things.
Yeah.
Where do they end up? Dead.
Dead.
Okay. But that's the thing.
Dead, or if not dead, they'll be completely annihilated. Like, no support. There'll be embargoes. I mean, if they don't want to finish you,
they'll make
your life a living hell.
And it ends there.
Like Zimbabwe, they're not going to kill Mnangagwa or Mnangagwa, it's called. But they will make sure the country is on its knees.
Yeah, but I mean, for him, it's also controversial.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of the gold dealings
and a lot of things
that they've been involved
Probably
in.
The guy is just like, yo, me, I gotta survive.
but it's Africa.
Yeah, I was like,
even
me, I gotta survive.
When Gaddafi was alive, he was bankrolling all these economies with oil money.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not like he talked about unifying Africa.
Mm.
Great Britain was like,
you're
not going to unify.
It's not going to happen.
Our chocolate is not going to come
get
through.
Get a bottle of water. Get a bottle of water and die.
That's what happened.
And then they make everybody come against you. They arm your people and disarm you.
We are a powerful continent.
And literally finish your ass. That's what's going to happen.
We are a powerful continent. You know, the artists that are coming from here are powerful.
Yeah.
For example, Nigeria. Nigeria, when we were starting off, even with street art.
Yes.
You can put me or Bankslave or Swift on the same. We're not on the level of them.
They're not even close.
They are not close.
Yep.
The thing they have is great marketing and
PR. And also numbers. I mean,
you can't compete.
Yeah.
I guarantee you can't compete with the street artists.
So difficult,
even musicians that are doing really well.
Yeah.
But their musicians here also are fire, bro.
Yeah.
We don't have a sound.
Exactly.
Why don't we have our own sound? Mm. You have a piano and we have Afrobeat courtesy of Fela in Nigeria.
Yeah.
Then they switch it up and they use Afrobeat.
Because I've seen this before with another platform, is that we as Kenyan fans, we are so big on being critics that before we actually get to love what we actually need to love and evolve to create a sound, we'll be the first to shut down what it means to have a Kenyan sound.
Criticize everything.
Too much. Oh, so. But yeah, he's in Mexico. Yeah, but his tag, I don't like the way his tag looks like. Have you seen?
Anyway, that's fine.
Moving on, as we conclude.
Yeah.
Finally, like I always say, I speak like an African headmaster. And in conclusion, last but not least, let me make my final point. Banksy.
Aha.
There's been many documentaries about Banksy, how he looks like, who he is, and all of that stuff. Who's Banksy?
I mean, if you ask me my personal opinion, I don't care.
Yeah.
I feel like... I have friends who painted for his festival, you know?
Do you feel what he does is so revolutionary, like, that it's worth the hype and the money and the attachment?
Before,
or do you feel like this is a beautiful marketing scheme? Just a well-thought-out marketing scheme?
I would say both. The fact that when he started off was interesting, even now that people go crazy.
Yeah.
Because this is the world. The world works very funny. People are buying into the hype. Yeah, it's cool. Stuff that he does, amazing. Sure, whatever. But for me, I don't think that I should be paying so much attention to that. I mean, I like the way that he's also supporting a Palestinian cause for... He's got the world, I think... I can't remember the hotel that he's created in the West Bank, which is, you know, which is also controversial and interesting. But at the same time, I think that he knows the capitalist model and he's used that to make money off it. Like the shredding of the painting. People will buy it because it's Banksy and it's like a revolutionary thing.
Yeah, like that painting that he sold
that
for...
That shredded it, I think Christie's or Sotheby's, or I don't know.
And then when the bell rang...
It shredded.
Started shredding.
So the price goes up.
And the price went up immediately from like, let's say it was 3x to like 52x.
Right.
It just went up, yeah.
I think he's a necessary evil and I think he's also relevant. I think he's a relevant person in his own way. He does fill in the gaps with a lot of things.
Yeah.
He does talk about certain things that are very important.
Yeah.
But I would not buy into the hype. I don't like the hype. I just like the consistency. I have friends who do amazing work, but they have that consistency. I like the same thing with Banksy, but I'm not so honed in about who is this person.
Exactly.
Do I need to know? I don't care.
You won't lose sleep. What people need to know is who is Boopy. That's all.
I'm just an artist. I'm just a traveler, actually.
Yeah.
I'm just traveling and meeting people and painting and inspiring people along the way. So with this podcast, maybe somebody else will get inspired.
Exactly.
And
even
now that it's very intimate, where we're talking about deep things, about politics, about art, even about here in Kenya. So it's like, finally something. Because usually I stay undercover. I don't like to talk too much.
Because I mean, also the other thing is that the content has to matter. But in that same breath, thank you for making us stop over.
Yeah, thank you.
On your journey of life, on your sojourn of life.
Yeah.
It's a sojourner.
Sojourner.
As you do your thing, thank you for making us stop over here because I feel like this is a very necessary conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen you do your thing from the pits of WAPI. Literally... The star worldwide. Yeah, of the Statue of Liberty. So thank you for making time, man.
It's been an
absolute pleasure.
I appreciate it, bro.
Awesome. Make sure you follow Boopy all over Wise 2. Yeah, because you gotta stay wise, okay?
Wise 2.
T-W-O. Wise Wabili. Because it's like two people here. And two people over here. And make sure you show him some love everywhere. If you have a project and you feel like, you know what, I want my kids to know more about what Wise 2 does, and I want my kids to be inspired by his art. Or you're just basically like, you know what, my office needs something more artistic. I'm tired of hearing the same things from interior decorators. Put a big lamp here, and then there's a chair from Sotheby's. We don't give a shit about that.
$4,000.
Nah, bruh, get Boopy the $4,000. And let him show you how to transform. By the way, for me, I feel like Kenyan brands don't use like mural artists, like graffiti artists, really like well.
Because they don't utilize.
I want to come to your office.
Word.
And not just the usual like, brand colors.
Right.
No, bro. You could. When I come into your office as a corporate, let me see what's on your wall and say, I want these guys to handle my pitch. Because they, if they can tell a story on a wall,
yeah,
damn it, they can tell my story.
Exactly.
So big, tell your story with wise too. That's all. Be wise.
Be wise.
Be wise. Be wise. And on that note, Happy New Year. No, guys, we're going to have a special when we talk about all our New Year resolutions. I don't really care about resolutions because I make them every single day. But yeah, enjoy yourself and have a great weekend. That's what's up. Thank you for choosing Unlock Your Soul podcast, where it helps you to grow and, of course, unlock your soul. I hope you learned something new, something bright, something great today, and that you can also share this podcast with each and every single person that you know. All you gotta do is review, like, and share this podcast on your favorite social media platform. Also, make sure you check us out on YouTube at Unlock Your Soul Podcast, on Instagram at Unlock Your Soul Pod, and on TikTok at Unlock Your Soul Podcast. It's time